The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of them will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I'm going to put our thing here on gallery view so I can see some of you, and I'll ask some of the kids to unmute their televisions so I can ask a couple questions, their computer or whatever they happen to be. Hello, good morning, how are you? Are you good? Thumbs up?
Yeah, yes.
Hey, have you guys ever made cookies with your parents? Have you guys made cookies with your parents? No? Yes? This is going to be a really short children's sermon if you haven't. Okay. So, when you had to make those cookies, didn't have to, but you chose to, would it happen to be because you wanted to share them with other people? Yes? Maybe you had a friend who had a birthday and you want to make them some cookies, or maybe just people were coming over and you wanted to share them with those people. But you had to be really, you had to remember how to make them. You had to get the recipe out. You had to get all the ingredients. There was a lot of work to get those cookies made. Now, when we make cookies for either ourselves or to share with other people, we have this wonderful experience of pulling them out of the oven, right? And then, like the first one, when it cools down just enough, but it's still warm enough from the oven, that it just melts in your mouth and it tastes so wonderful, right? And then we get to share that with either the people that are around us in our family or those maybe that we share those cookies with. Well, that is a welcome feeling. One of my best memories as a child, and it actually still happens today, we get together with all of my siblings during Christmas and make all these cookies that we can share with other people. The point is, there's a lot of prep that goes into that, a lot of preparation that has to happen. You know, whether it's by our parents or by you, but we have to follow the directions, the ingredients have to be just right, and then we bake these cookies. Well, Jesus is telling us that even if we give a cold cup of water to someone, that's very important to do. And back in his day, it wasn't easy to find a cold cup of water. Well, maybe it was easier to find, but it wasn't easy to keep. They didn't have refrigerators back then. So to get a cold cup of water, they had to do some planning, just like we have to plan to make cookies. They had to go to a well very early in the morning to actually go into that well and get the cold water out of that. And then they had to find a place to keep it cool. Probably the coolest place they could find is somewhere in the shade that they might have around their house. And it didn't stay cold for long. So it took a lot of planning. It took a lot of thinking to keep a cup of cold water around. But that's what we are called to do. As we welcome people, as we are part of God's family, we need to share the cookies of our lives and also share a cup of cold water whenever we can. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the warmth of a freshly baked cookie and the way it tastes and the smile it brings to others when we share them, as well as a cold cup of water that is a reminder of your love for us in the waters of baptism. Help us to be always thinking of how to welcome others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from our God and our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this wonderful day. Man, I'm just excited to be here today. I don't know if it's just because I feel loopy because I've been locked up for so long or what's going on, but I love our gospel lesson this morning and I'm very excited about it. Just a simple word, welcome. It has so many meanings and we use it in so many ways. I mean, as a noun, you will receive a warm welcome. Or an exclamation, welcome to Wildlife Park. Or for my childhood, I can still remember Ricardo Montalban saying, welcome to Fantasy Island. A critic over here in the corner. Anyway, sorry. As a verb, hotels should welcome guests in their own language. We welcome any comments here at OSLC, just not about the length of the sermons. As an adjective, visitors to OSLC are always welcome. After your walk, the cafe serves a welcome pot of coffee. Or anyone is welcome to join us after service for our coffee hour. Jesus is talking about welcoming and why we should be intentional when we welcome. But before we get there, this whole chapter, this whole book is leading up to this spot in the 10th chapter. So here's just a small review of what has happened. Jesus is born. He escapes from Egypt because of this bad guy, Herod. He returns to Egypt because the bad guy's dead. Jesus points out, he is pointed out by John the Baptist. He's baptized. He's tempted. He gathers the first members of his disciples. He cares for the crowds. He gives them the good news within the Beatitudes. He proclaims that the disciples, everyone, are the salt and the light of the world. He teaches them, and this is where his teaching starts, to stop thinking that he's there to abolish the law or the prophets. And then he gets deeper into his teachings for anger, adultery, divorce, oaths, retaliation, love of enemies. Remember that one. Almsgiving, prayer, fasting, treasures, like where's yours is and where it's supposed to be, serving two masters, which can't be done, not to worry, yeah, right, yeah, not in this time, judges are judging others, not judges, judging others, another one to keep close, ask, knock, and search, the golden rule, the narrow gate, bearing good fruit, self-deception, and construction, yes, construction, where it's you're supposed to build your house, of course, on the rock and not that sandy stuff. And then Jesus starts to heal. The centurion's servant was one of the first, Peter's mother-in-law and many others, that because of the word that broke out that he was there. And then he has time to calm a storm. Then he goes back to healing. He heals the two Gerardine demonics. Remember all that bacon goes over the waist, over the cliff? Then he heals the paralytic, just reminding us how important good friends are. He takes a break to call Matthew as the disciple. He goes back to healing, a one for two in the next story, leader of the temple's daughter, and then a hemorrhaging woman. Two blind men. Remember, they were the ones that couldn't keep their mouths shut after they were healed. And then he heals one mute. Then he talks about how the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So he's getting their attention of, this is your work to do. Then he introduces all of his disciples. And then he gives them this mission. Yes, this wonderful mission. He tells the disciples to go out and proclaim the good news, because the kingdom of God has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Maybe you remember that awesome sermon that Pastor Mike preached a couple weeks ago. If you didn't catch it, go to the website, June 14th, watch it. Then he warns them about the coming persecution. Not to fear, because we are all alike and loved by God. It is enough that we are like the teacher and that we are like the master. So what I whisper to you, proclaim from the housetops. Jesus has come with a sword to shave off the injustice, and it will cause families to be against one another. And as long as you lose your life for his sake, you will find it. Now this all leads up right before chapter 11, where it is written, verse 1, "Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities." So, the disciples' instruction culminates with, well, to top this off, the NRSV does not do it justice in their chapter subtitle because it says rewards. And I don't think that's quite right. If somebody would ask me, am I so humble opinion, I would have put that welcoming. The last thing he tells his disciples before he says, I am finished with instructing my disciples, is what we hear today about welcoming. Welcoming in this passage says, whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Oh, Pastor Randy, I'm not a prophet. What does that mean? What is a prophet's reward? Well, hate to tell you, but most prophets died. And we don't see that as reward. But yet we know that that end will come with the promise of eternal life. The important thing to remember, though, is not so much the reward. It's in welcoming somebody in the name of a prophet. And what does that mean? It means to welcome somebody like you are a prophet. To welcome somebody as if you were, because you are, because you are blessed and you are grounded in this water of life from your baptism that gives you the authority to welcome people in love. And as you do that as a messenger of God, as a prophet, you are welcoming those to God's love. Whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the rewards of the righteous. In the same way, Pastor, I don't feel that I'm a righteous person at all. None of us are. But we are still washed with that water in our baptism that allows the Holy Spirit to break in through all the walls that we put up, that we are claimed as God's children. And we should look at other people in the same way, that they are a child of God. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of them will lose their reward. First, it reinforces the need to be intentional about our actions and our welcoming. As I said in the children's sermon, do you know how hard it was to keep a cup of cold water around the tent or the cave? Probably close to impossible. So someone, as soon as they received a visitor, would have to run to the well, get a fresh bucket of water, and come back home. We must always continue to anticipate this welcoming of others. A second, it lets us know that we are in this together. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, if you view yourself as a prophet or a righteous person, it doesn't matter. Just in the act of intentionally offering someone something that they might need, we become the prophet, the righteous person, the disciple, loved by God. Our teacher is asking us to welcome those in these ways. And third, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of these, to the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me also." I don't think there's any confusion of the words that he uses in that verse, chapter 25, verse 40. Into the words that he uses, one of these little ones. They're not exactly the same, but I think they have the same meaning. You are welcome to welcome others, and you are welcome to live as a disciple, living with intention of welcoming everyone. Think about how we welcome people as they enter into our church home. You know, we don't ask about their political opinions or their lifestyle or what college they prefer. Thank God for me. But we welcome them all. I remember a number of years ago reading this survey about new members in churches. These members were given a list of 48 items why they joined a particular congregation. The 7 highest ranked reasons for joining were these: because of what the pastor was like as a person, because members made me feel welcomed when I attended, because it helped me in my attempt to live a Christian life, because I especially liked the worship services, because it was a place where my children could receive a good religious education, because the pastor preaches good sermons, because I felt that something was missing in my life that was missing in my life. So you remember what the second highest factor was? Because members made me feel welcome when I attended. That's 4 steps above what a preacher can do from the pulpit. Because the pastor preaches good sermons was number 6. The body of Christ has so much more ability to make people feel welcome in a space than even the preacher preaching. You know, we are happy to see people join us. But how do we take that attitude into our society today? It's been 15 weeks since we've held worship within these walls. Yet we are still very much the church. But Pastor, how do we welcome people in this time of a double pandemic? Well, first, be safe. Wash your hands. Stop touching your face. Wear your masks. It's everything that you have heard since this whole thing started. And it's going to be part of our society for a time to come yet. But this is how we welcome people safely. This is how we care and love for our neighbors. Keep a social distance. Wear your masks. And secondly, be willing to listen to all sides of the story as we get into this social unrest, this civil unrest. Get informed about what people are upset about and ask what your role as a white person or a person of color will be. How is it that we make a positive change for the future generations that are yet to come? How do we welcome all people of the human race? Is this our job? This is our job to do for the future generations of the world. Just as Jesus said, he went on from there after teaching his disciples to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. We are asked to do the same thing, welcoming, proclaiming from the housetops, even through a mask, the love and the forgiveness of God to all the human race. Amen.